Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Townsend Restaurant and Bakery, capturing the spirit of San Francisco. Today we look ahead to the second half of the Giants season with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in part two of our conversation. Well, John, there are eight wonders of the world, but we might want to add one. The ninth wonder of the world is, how did the Giants go into the All-Star break with the best record in baseball? I mean, with all the injuries that they had, especially, you know, having somebody like Hunter Pence out of the lineup for a good portion of the first half, and they still end up with the best record, playing guys like Ramiro Pena and Grant Green, you know, Connor Gillespie. You know, Matt Duffy was out, Joe Panic was out. These guys are coming back, but still, how did they do it? I know it was really good pitching, but this really speaks to their depth, which is kind of better than, I don't know, that I thought coming into the season. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know about if the depth is better. I mean, guys are stepping up, but these are guys that really aren't high-level prospects. Or, I mean, they're kind of journeymen, people who have been around the game, you know, Pena, Green, Gillespie, like you mentioned. But they just happened to be in the organization, and there was a need. But when Pence was lost last year, the Giants were done. It was over. They never recovered from that. This year they lose him and don't miss a beat and just roll into the All-Star break. And not only that, but Panic and Duffy are out, half the infield, two valuable pieces, the second hitter and the third hitter in your lineup. And Pence is a 3-4-5 guy as well. And they're putting it together. Now, two things. And hey, don't forget the bullpen, which, 17, 18 blown saves right up there with Cincinnati, which is historically bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, all those factors against you if you would have guessed that they would be in first place and hold the best record in the league and the majors, you would have said, well, that's kind of a stretch. I don't know if that could happen. Well, it's happened because Bumgarner, Cueto at the top of the rotation, those guys have been as good as anybody, and they're both on the same team, and they pitch back-to-back. And, that, you know, that's a wonderful start when 40% of your rotation pretty much wins almost every time or gives up one or two runs at the most. Bumgarner's ERA is under 2 now, and Cueto's coming off a complete game. So they're going into the second half with a lot better belief than a lot of fans would have had if all these things were presented to them. And one other thing, I think Bochy has a lot to do with this. I think it's one of his best managerial efforts by pulling the right strings. And it's pretty much a different lineup every day based on the opposing pitcher and based on the health of his guys with Pagan and Span, et cetera. They're in and out of the lineup. And, Gregor Blanco had to play a lot, like he always does. He's the fourth guy, but probably the most used fourth guy in baseball over the past several years. He had a real bad slump and then made a tweak in his mechanics and started hitting well before the break. Crawford, of course, he's got to be top five in MVP, doesn't he? He might not be an all-star, but he's an MVP candidate.
Right.
So, I mean, you have a lot of good with a lot of bad, and, they seem to be doing it. Now, when you go to the second half, you talk about Pence and Duffy and Panic, you're not going to see those guys for a while. They start off in San Diego, and they go to Boston, they go to New York. There's a good chance none of those guys will play on the road trip. So you might not see them until late July at home. So it's kind of a key road trip going back to two big cities, Boston and New York, for this thing.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Bochy, because it just seems like he always presses the right buttons. And it's kind of, I think, even behind the scenes more than the average baseball fan sees. the fact that he has trust in certain players in certain situations. Like, I mean, Jake Peavy, he could have been just knocked out of the rotation, and he wasn't. Madison Bumgarner, does he get to go for a one-hitter? Yeah, he does, even though his pitch count's pretty high. You know, just trusting that he's not going to get hurt. And then in other cases, he knows when he's going to pull a player out of the game, and it's just going to work for him. Like Santiago Casilla, that thing could have turned into a big deal when Casilla wasn't happy that he was pulled out of the game, but it was diffused pretty quickly. So it just seems like Bochy, he's able to handle all of these things seamlessly, and I don't know how he does it, because not that many managers, I think, can do that and trust in players and still get away with it, because, you know, it could blow up in your face. If you end up trusting in Peavy and he doesn't turn it around the way he did, then it doesn't work out for you.
Yeah, Brandon Crawford, for much of the first half, early on especially, was hitting in front of the pitcher. And here's a guy who's coming off a Silver Slugger Award as the best hitting shortstop in the league. But his ego didn't really tell him to complain, so he didn't. And he started racking up a whole bunch of RBIs, and then he was moved up in the lineup. But Bochy even admitted to, you know, he hits better in front of the pitcher than anybody else. You know, the way he might get pitched around, he's patient, it doesn't get to him mentally. And so he was the perfect fit to hit eighth, or if the pitcher hit eighth, then seventh. So that's one example. And you mentioned doing the right things with Bumgarner and Cueto, letting them go, you know, deep into the games. And Peavy, how many managers would have given up on Peavy? He was just awful.
I know.
And, you know, his age, his workload, okay, he's done. Last year of his contract, get him out of there. Well, Bochy had him in San Diego. He saw the best of Peavy. And back when he was a Triple Crown winner in innings and strikeouts and wins. So it's a matter of believing in guys. So when you're believed in, you kind of tend to believe in yourself. So Peavy overcame the terrible stretch at the beginning and, didn't complain. Nobody complained because they had faith in Bochy, but the one guy who did complain, you're right, is Casilla, whose ego got the best of him that one day when he wasn't summoned Diamondbacks. You know, I want to pitch against this guy. Didn't get the opportunity and popped off after the game, slept on it, woke up the next morning, walked into Bochy's office and apologized. So that was a one-day story, but for the most part, people on this team, knowing Bochy's track record, authority, presence, and the way he has won three championships, tend to do what he says.
Glad you mentioned Lamb. He was the guy who had the only hit against Bumgarner on Sunday. And the way Bumgarner is locked in right now, especially in that game with that curveball, I mean, is he even in a better state right now than he was in 2014. I mean, I know you can't compare it to the postseason run because that's the postseason. But at the beginning of the year, he even admitted that his mechanics were a little bit off, you know, in spring training he had some injuries and he just didn't seem like he was totally locked in right away. And now, I mean, this is a Bumgarner that looks like he's primed to have, you know, a second half that's up there with the way Clayton Kershaw's been pitching, and maybe even better. I mean, because Kershaw's hurt right now. So, you know, what do you think about the way Bumgarner's throwing the ball?
Well, it's interesting. Talking to him, he says, well, it's the best first half he's ever had, numbers-wise. He said his mechanics are all screwed up.
Still?
So explain that. He said he's never been able to get his mechanics to where they need to be. But at the same time, he's putting up these crazy numbers. So he concludes that I'm still working on getting my mechanics right, but I'm also asking myself, should I? Should I just keep doing things wrong because it seems to be working? And that's what he's fighting right now. And it's kind of a nice fight to have when you're not doing things right, but you're succeeding. And who knows if he'd succeed if he did things right. So he says that there's always some mechanical tweaks he's trying to work on. In the meantime, he's mowing down hitters left and right. So, yeah, it's his best first half in his mind. But it's also an unusual first half because he doesn't think he's right yet mechanically.
More with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. The next time you're on your way to a Giants game, stop by Town's End Restaurant and Bakery for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., or for brunch on the weekend from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Celebrating their 26th year, family-run and cozy, Town's End Restaurant and Bakery captures the spirit of San Francisco with homemade sourdough English muffins, scones, and breads. They're serving cage-free Petaluma eggs and have been organic since well before organic became mainstream. Consistent quality, 4-star Google reviews, and great service from loyal employees that have been there for over 20 years. Town's End Restaurant and Bakery, a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park, right along the Embarcadero at 2 Townsend Street in San Francisco. We mentioned the players that are coming back. I mean, Hunter, Pence, foremost among them. But, Joe Panik getting back in there, Matt Duffy at some point. What does it mean to this team? I mean, now does a Grant Green stay on because he was valuable and he was hitting around 300? Is he a guy you can bring off the bench? And what about the young guys like Mac Williamson and Jared Parker and their little audition? Does that end now because you got Hunter Pence going to play most of the time when he does come back? I mean, and what did you think of the way Parker and Williamson performed, because they had flashes of brilliance? I mean, the Williamson home run in Arizona sticks in my mind. Jared Parker, every once in a while, power, but maybe not as much consistency as you would like.
Yeah, both of those guys really need to work on being contact guys. That's what this lineup is all about. Just put the ball in play and see what happens. They can't afford to have guys with big swings and big strikeout numbers. So that's one thing that they really have to work on. And by the way, Tejada was another guy we missed who's just taken Ruben from Tejada. Whatever the scrap heap. He was involved in that Utley play, right, last year on the national stage, but really struggled to find work after that. So anyway, he's also a factor. But listen, all those guys were AAA people before the injuries, and I assume that that's where they would return. Williamson and Parker were the first guys called up, and there were times both of them were down there. There were times one of them was up here, and now both of them are up here. So it's really based on how they do. It's a daily tryout for these guys. And, Gillespie is a proven big leaguer. And, Green has been around the block, mostly in AAA, but he's been with several teams up and down. And Peña and Tejada. So there are guys with track records, and it's just about who's hot, who's playing well defensively. And, that's kind of how Bochy exists day to day, with the way he draws up the lineup and the way Sabian and Evans draw up the roster.
We'll be right back with more of the conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in just a moment. Hey, Giants fans, whether you're taking pictures of Little Leaguers or the pros, Tamron Lenses and Looking Glass Photo have the perfect lens for you. The award-winning Tamron 16-300mm all-in-one zoom is more versatile than your basic kit lens. With amazing Tamron quality and image stabilization, you'll never need to switch lenses again, whether they are sliding into home or making a spectacular catch at the wall. Your Tamron lens will catch them all. Tamron has lenses for all of your photographic needs, and you can get your Tamron lens at Looking Glass Photo in Berkeley. Contact them at www.lookingglassphoto.com. What about the bullpen? You already mentioned that it's been struggling. The blown saves, that's out there in a lot of stories, right there with the Cincinnati Reds, as you were talking about. And there's talk about, okay, do you get another guy? Do you go and trade for somebody before the trade deadline? That would be the glaring spot. Go get a Houston Street maybe or somebody else that, everybody talks about Andrew Miller being on the trade block. And I know you talked to him and even Jay Bruce about the possibility of being a Giant. So what do the Giants do at the trade deadline? And who are you willing to give up? Because I know that, from my standpoint, I wouldn't give up Christian Arroyo or Tyler Beede or Phil Bickford from what we've seen of him, the first-round pick from last year. It's pretty hard to give up any of those players, and especially knowing what's happened in the past. I mean, you gave up a Zach Wheeler for when you went and got Carlos Beltran, and Wheeler, of course, has been hurt, but still, that could have really blown up. And even Adam Duvall, that seems to have been a trade that you regret because Mike Leake was just a second-half guy, and now Adam Duvall's on the All-Star team hitting 22 homers. So these are tough decisions.
Yeah, I don't know if Adam Duvall would be doing this in San Francisco. I don't know if he would be playing. Not a great on base percentage. He strikes out here quite a bit, but it's a nice story in Cincinnati, which is struggling mightily, and it's nice to see Duvall at the All-Star game and in the All-Star Home Run Derby. And Giants have been getting a lot of phone calls on a lot of their young guys, and apparently Tyler Beede is the guy most talked about in conversations. Christian Arroyo, maybe their best prospect. He might be next year's left fielder. Who knows? If Pagan leaves as a free agent, which he is expected to do, it's really the only spot in the lineup where he could have a new guy come in. And Arroyo is a wonderful hitter. He's a shortstop by trade. He's not going to play shortstop on this team, obviously. Does he play another infield position? Well, Duffy has been on and off in his sophomore season here. Panic is here long term. His third base is future. His left field is future. They still have a whole lot of faith in Duffy coming back from the injury even. So anyway, there's a lot of talk. There are a lot of rumors. We still have a couple of weeks to go. The biggest names, obviously, two of whom I spoke with at the All-Star game, Jay Bruce, the outfielder with Cincinnati, and Andrew Miller, the talented left-handed reliever with the Yankees. Now, both those guys, it would take a punch to get, because those are high-level trade chips.
Yeah.
And, boy, if they got Miller, he's absolutely sensational. He has two strikeouts per innings. He has a 1.3 ERA. He's just a wonderful pitcher. Now, if you asked me a month or two ago what they need, I would have said, well, absolutely a hitter. But now it's absolutely a reliever. Things have changed a little bit, and the priority for them is getting bullpen help, whether it's one guy, whether it's two guys. And I did talk to Miller. I talked to Bruce. I talked to both those guys in San Diego at the All-Star game about the Giants rumors. And Bruce said, listen, I've heard about San Francisco. San Francisco is a great place. They're always in the hunt, storied history, blah, blah, blah. But he also said any team that would want me or trade for me is going to be in good position to make the playoffs. And, that's the same with Miller. Wherever he goes, he's going to be in the hunt. Now, I asked Miller about the Giants, and he says, yeah, I get it. There are a lot of teams talking. He says they can't worry about it. He said the Yankees have told him that they still want him around. But listen, he even said if things change, the Yankees have every right to get rid of him, and he understands that, especially if somebody blows him away with a big trade proposal. He wouldn't blame them for trading him. Both upfront, guys who are not afraid to talk about their value on the trade market. But I'm thinking, because those guys are going to take an arm and a leg, that, in Sabian's history, and Evans's, to a shorter degree, has been about getting the guy that you least expect. I mean, in 2010, when they started this championship run, they got a couple of relievers at the deadline. Was it Lopez, Ramirez, and that was kind of their way of doing things, in the next couple of years as well. They would get guys who might not be the top target because except for Carlos Beltran, that was a biggie, but that didn't work out. And otherwise, they've just picked up guys who are good role players. And maybe that's what happens, especially now that Sergio Romo is healthy and looking sharp in a couple of outings before the break. So that's maybe where they go instead of this incredible big arm with a big contract where you have to give up some big players. Maybe they get somebody that you'd least expect, two guys who could deepen that bullpen. Because right now, they have some younger guys who have not been in this situation before and tend to struggle. And I don't know if you can rely on them. I think you need some proven arms.
More with John Shea right after this. The Bay Area is a playground for all levels of cyclists, and the best bicycle store around is Breaking Away Bicycles in Marin. Established in 2005, Breaking Away Bicycles was built on a passion for getting people outside. Donna started the shop after 19 years managing Angel Island, watching kids and adults enjoy riding around the beautiful landscape. She left the corporate world to help more folks get on bikes. Rich joined the team and dedicated his life to being constantly covered in grease. He'll get you rolling no matter what. So stop by Breaking Away Bikes in the heart of Ross at 7 Ross Common. Or check them out on the web, www.breakingawaybikes.com. A little reminder, each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com or on Facebook, thesportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Now back to the chat with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. To finish up, let's talk about what happens across the bay, what will happen, what could happen after at the All-Star game. It was discussed a little bit, and certainly Commissioner Manfred is saying that the A's should stay in Oakland. They should get a new ballpark there. They can't go to San Jose because the Giants have blocked that as far as territorial rights. So how do you see this playing out? I mean, we've been waiting so long for some kind of decision from the A's and Major League Baseball as far as building a ballpark. They really need to get a new one over there to replace the Coliseum.
March of 2009, Bud Selig put together a three-man committee to look into the A's stadium issue and find them a new site or, you know, ballpark idea. And it's been a long time, many years, many months. And one commissioner later, Rob Manfred, is being asked the same questions, it seems, every year at this time when the baseball writers have their annual luncheon before the All-Star game. I sit and ask the exact same questions, worded a little bit differently. I try to be a little more creative. Anyway, I asked Manfred yesterday before the game, All-Star Tuesday, said, what about the A's? Is there any hope in Oakland? Are you waiting for the Raiders to move to Vegas or somewhere else to rebuild at the Coliseum? And so, you know, just a line of questions. And Manfred says a little bit more than Selig ever did. Selig didn't say much. Manfred can't say much because there's not a whole lot to say. It's just not a whole lot of movement. But what he did say, very interesting, is, hey, if the A's left today, you know, we would look back in this at this in 10 years and say it was a mistake. So he's thinking about the growth of the Bay Area, the growth of the East Bay, the growth of Oakland, and suggesting that the market in 5 years is going to be a lot better than it is right now. Now, why do you say that? Well, you know, if you look at Oakland, I mean, remember, Uber is moving its headquarters. Uptown has been having a transformation. The prices of homes have gone up in many parts of the city. So Oakland is kind of looked at a little bit differently than a few years ago by, you know, when Selig was running things. And Manfred, getting this information and realizing that, you know, maybe there is a future in Oakland. And he wouldn't say exactly where. If the Raiders do move, the Coliseum would be the obvious site to get rid of the monstrosity that is the Coliseum and rebuild there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also, you know, not ruling out other locales. So, yeah, the Giants still hanging tough with the territorial rights. No San Jose. You got to stay in the East Bay, which is fine, really. I mean, it's still the Coliseum is kind of the center in a lot of ways of the Bay Area. Easy access. They could improve it a little bit, but it's right there off the freeway, and it's not far from San Francisco. North Bay, South Bay, where if you did move to San Jose, you'd be cutting off a lot of the people who want to come from the north or even the city. So, you know, I would like to see it done in Oakland, and Manfred would too. It's a matter of these owners kind of getting together and making it work, and there has been little effort, or maybe I shouldn't say effort, but little done on their part so far. Now, one interesting thing, Joe, is the collective bargaining agreement, which ends in December, says that the A's, because they're one of the top 15 markets in baseball, even though they call themselves a little market. The Bay Area is not a little market. Right. They're little revenue, but not a little market. Because of their top 15, all top 15 market teams will no longer get revenue sharing at the end of this basic agreement, which ends in December. So the A's are a little different story because they have been told, and the CBA suggests this, that they can continue to get revenue sharing until they get a new stadium. Hmm. Well, if this thing is just sitting here and there's no movement on stadium talk, the other owners are kind of getting ticked off and say, well, wait a minute. What if we just say we'll cut you off revenue sharing in this next labor agreement, no more revenue sharing? It kind of forces the A's owners to move, right? Suddenly, without revenue sharing, without $34 million every year, and that's pretty much what the Giants pay into it, is what the A's get. Well, shoot, maybe we got to make this thing happen. Because right now, there's no urgency. They're making money.
Yeah, no incentive.
They're not drawing well, but they're making a lot of money. I mean, MLB, all the teams make a lot of money. And for the teams like Oakland, they make a lot of money in part because of revenue share. So without revenue sharing, we'll see what this new CBA says. I asked Manfred about that yesterday, and Tony Clark, the union head, was asked the same thing. And, you know, it's on the table. It's being discussed. And so that's kind of a little part of all of this talk, and it could turn out to be a major part.
Yeah, I mean, incentive has got to be a big part of that. And, you know, when you were talking about the A's and the Raiders, and you think about even the Warriors are leaving for San Francisco, Raiders, if they end up leaving, Oakland would be all to the A's. I mean, they would own that town. No other pro sports team would be there. So maybe that would help them, you know, with their new stadium.
Boy, I sure hope the Warriors stay. And I guess there's zero chance because they're so close to starting over in San Francisco, but man, what a ride that has been over there. And, you know, once they leave, it'll just be like the 49ers. The soul might be taken out of that franchise, and you go to a new venue, and now you have a new fan base, and people go to the games for the wrong reasons. And are you even watching? Are you even sitting in your seat? You know, the 49ers, it's a total different environment than Candlestick. And I'd love to see the Warriors stay in that arena in Oakland, but nobody on the team wants it to happen. But with the A's, yeah, if both teams leave, it's their baby, and you know they could knock down both those buildings and start anew and just make that whole lot theirs, and you know that would be interesting. I mean, there's no nightlife that like there is in San Francisco and Colorado and all these other downtown cities, but who knows? Maybe the neighborhood would spruce up in some way.
All right, John. Hey, thanks a lot for everything here on the podcast today. And by the way, you, Johnny Cueto, Buster Posey, Brandon Belt, you're the luckiest people in the country. I mean, you all get to stay in San Diego not only for the All-Star break, but you're there for this three-game series coming up against the Padres. So you're in San Diego, one of the premier cities in the country, longer than anybody else. That's pretty good for you guys.
Yeah, as we speak, everybody's flying back east or down south or to the Midwest, and I'm looking at the beach, so life is good.
All right, thanks, John.
Thank you.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Join us again on Monday for another edition of Inside China Basin. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening on thesportsvirus.com.